On the way up tonight, of course, I was driving like Jehu. Does anybody know what that means? I was thinking about that. If you don't know what driving like Jehu means, that's your assignment for tonight. So you come back tomorrow night, you can tell Brother Jones what it means to drive like Jehu. But anyway, sneaking on the way up, you know, have you ever heard anybody say, I am so glad to be in the house of God, I'd rather be here than the best hospital. You ever heard anybody say that, brother? I've heard people say that. And, you know, I guess any of us would rather be here than the best hospital, wouldn't we? I know I would. But I tell you what, I'd rather be here than the skunk fest. That's right. I didn't even know such a thing existed till I was driving up here tonight. North Ridgeville, they got a skunk fest. Man, I don't think I want to go to the skunk fest. It's a bunch of stinkers. But, amen. I'd rather be here than there. Amen. I'd rather be with God's people and just to sing the songs and rejoice in the Lord and His goodness, the salvation that He gives us. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord and His goodness. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm pinch hitting tonight. That's what I'm doing. And if you know the success of pinch hitters, they're not that great. But, you know, they get up there and they do the best they can. And so that's just what we're going to do tonight, the best we can. But I was thinking, you know, I know Brother Jones wants the church to have revival. And whenever I talk about revival, I'm not talking about four or five services. I'm talking about a move of God in our hearts. I'm talking about a change that takes place within us. That's what I'm talking about. And I know Brother Jones, he wants the church to have revival. I mean, he's the pastor. There are others here that that they want to have revival. You know, they maybe you came tonight and you really do. Down in your heart, you've thought today, boy, I really would like to have a move of God in my life. God wants us to have revival. Don't you agree with that? I mean, God wants to move in our lives. He wants to transform and work in our hearts. He wants to do that in every one of us. Amen. There's somebody else tonight that doesn't want you to have a revival. The enemy, Satan, he'd like to keep you asleep. He'd like to keep you in the rocking chair. He'd like to keep you in a comfortable position. Amen. Praise God. The devil wants to keep you there tonight. And so this evening, I'm going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. Maybe look at it a little differently. But I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about the barriers. The barriers to a revival. What is it that's going to keep you? What is it that is going to keep me from having a revival in my heart and in my life? What are those things that you and I should be focusing on? And maybe, you know, wouldn't it be great tonight if we could just bust through those barriers? If we could punch through those things and we could see those things just crumble and fall to the side. And then we have all weekend to rejoice and find the presence of God moving in us and reviving us, refreshing us, bringing us back. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what. I don't want to just keep having to be brought back to the same position. I want to go forward in God. I don't want to just have to be revived that, you know, I'm brought back to life again. But to go forward, to advance, to move on and into something greater that God wants to do in my life. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. Again, a familiar passage of Scripture says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What is keeping us? What is the barrier to revival within our hearts this evening? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray tonight that You would speak to us through Your Word. Father, I pray that You would just use me tonight. Lord, let me be hidden behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that we could reach out to those tonight, each and every one of us. Lord, none of us here are exempt. We all need revival within our hearts. We all need a move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we all need a fresh infilling of your power. Every one of us here tonight, Lord, we need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, a fresh anointing in our life. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, if there are barriers that are keeping us, that are obstacles in our way to finding exactly what we need in our lives this week, Father, I pray tonight that in these altars, that barriers would crumble to the ground. And Lord, that we would find ourselves free to run, free to advance, free to move forward, Lord, in what you desire to do in our hearts. Thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Bear with me here just a few minutes and we'll... I know Brother Jones said he's going to give me a lot of time and I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm just going to share with you some things tonight from these passages of Scripture that are barriers to us in our experience with God. The Scripture says here, the Lord is speaking to us. He says, if my people... One thing that we should note about this is God wasn't speaking to the far off and the stranger. He said, if my people... If my people, that just is a good indicator to each one of us tonight. Yeah, you might say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm serving the Lord. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got this. I went to Bible school. I did that. Whatever, you know. God, give me your pedigree. I really don't care. The Scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name. Amen. My people, the people of God, need revival. The people of God need a refreshing. The people of God need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The people of God, you and I, we need it tonight in our life. We need the touch of God. Amen. And so according to what the Scripture says here, if we're going to have revival in our life, we have got to bust down the barrier of pride. Now, I'm not going to get into a boring talk about what pride is. But the Scripture, he says here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. To humble ourselves. Pride is a word that talks of, it just means that we swell up, we pride, we have, we think highly of ourselves, thinking of ourselves and our abilities more than we ought to. And sometimes, God forgive us, sometimes we think we can do it better than God can. Amen. We think we can do it better than Him. We think that we can direct our lives. We think that we can call the shots in our lives and lead the life that we ought to live and know the direction we ought to go and follow the path that we think we've got it figured out. And I know we live in a world that's full of self-help books and a lot of self-instruction and you can go to iTunes University and all of that kind of stuff. I know that you've got all of those opportunities, but we can get so focused on ourselves that we miss the point. Let me read you a Scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 17. This is what the Scripture says to the church of Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know what I see in this passage of Scripture? It's somebody has been deceived. Somebody has been fooled. They think that they're rich. They think that they're increased with goods. They think that they don't have a need within their life. But God is looking at them and He sees a situation that is far different from that. He says, when I look at you, I see you as those that are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Listen, the church of Laodicea was really in a great need. They might have thought within themselves, oh, we've got it made. We've got a fine church. We've got a great pastor. We have a great program. Our programs are second to none. We have everything in place. We are a great body of believers. But it takes more than that, doesn't it? It takes more than that. It takes the touch of God. It takes an experience with God. It takes a recognition of our true condition before God to recognize tonight what we are before God. Listen, listen to me tonight. I'll just be simple. If you don't realize tonight, if you cannot recognize that you have a need within your spiritual life, if you can't recognize tonight that you need a closer walk with God, you will not have revival. Man, you won't have it. Praise God. Let's do a little comparison. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, the scripture talking about the early church. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuingly, verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Listen, that's the way God wants His church. Amen. They had a continual hunger. They had a continual drive to draw closer to God, to have a greater experience with the Lord, to find more of His power and His presence within their lives. Amen. The church needs to recognize our true condition tonight. Amen. The story is told that Muhammad Ali, he was a meek man, wasn't he? He's still alive, but meek man. The story is told that he was once on an airplane. And he was standing in the aisle talking and laughing and entertaining the passengers. And finally, the stewardess came back to him and said, Mr. Ali, you will have to take a seat and fasten your seatbelt because the plane is about to take off. Muhammad Ali looked at her with a smile and said, Honey, Superman don't need no seatbelt. She looked back at him and said, yeah, and Superman don't need no airplane either. You need to recognize who you are. He might have thought he was Superman. He's not Superman. You might think you're super Christian. You might think that you can fly with the best of them. You think that you can do it all. But what we really need to do is get down into a place with God and recognize the real need that we have in our life. Listen, unless we come to the recognition of our true state before Christ, we cannot find revival. Amen. You got to recognize that God has a better plan. He said, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Bring yourself low before God. Bring yourself before Him. Amen. That's exactly the counsel that the Lord had for the church of Laodicea in verse 18 of chapter 3. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. Listen, the things of God are what makes us rich. It's not a self-perception. It's not what we think about ourselves. But He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you could truly be rich. Listen, wouldn't it be great by Sunday if there would be some true riches within our lives before Christ? Because we got in a place and recognized our state before God. Hallelujah. Thou mayest be clothed, but the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see, O God. Help us to see who we are. God, help me to see my condition before You. Lord, help me to see myself the way that You see me. Help me to see my life, my actions. Help me to see myself the way that You see me, Lord, as You look upon me. Listen, if we'll have that attitude before God, we will have a revival in our hearts. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God. Amen. The writer of this verse of Scripture, he goes on and tells us that we need to bust down the barrier of prayerlessness. I heard this one mentioned tonight during the service, prayerlessness. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Imagine that God has to challenge His people to pray. Shouldn't that be what we're doing anyway? But how much of our prayer, how deep is our prayer really? I know that prayerlessness can be a cousin to pride because we have a sense that I don't need the Lord. I can do it myself. I can figure this out. Listen, if we would have a sense of humility before God, it leads to an attitude of prayer before God. And so we recognize that we have need. We recognize that without the Lord, we have nothing within our lives. We recognize that without Him, and I was listening as I was driving like Jehu tonight, I was listening to the Scripture, and I was reading in the book of Psalms, listening to that in the car, and listening to the psalmist David, and how that he was acknowledging that it was God that was the difference in his life, that it was the Lord that made up the difference. And just to hear the words of David as he called upon God and acknowledged the fact that without God, he was nothing. Amen. Prayer before God that recognizes that we need Him. Prayer before God that acknowledges. Listen, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James wrote this. He says, "You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." Wouldn't that be frustrating? But isn't that the plight of the world tonight? That's the plight of the world. They desire to have things, but they never can obtain them. They stretch, they reach, they try to fill their lives with all the things that they think will bring that satisfaction, but it does not exist. They put it there. They put the drugs there. They put the immorality there. They put the alcohol there. They put all the pleasures and the power and the pursuits of this world. They put all of those things in their life, but they do not find satisfaction. They lust to have. They seek to have it. But they don't obtain. He says you fight and war. But listen to this very last phrase. He says, yet you have not because you ask not. He says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. You see, it's not just in the asking. It's in the heart that you ask with. It's not just in asking, God, I want this. God, I want that. Isn't that really how our prayer list goes sometimes? It's more of a wish list. I don't know if you got an Amazon account, but maybe you got a wish list in there of all the books that you want to have in your Kindle. You have all these books that you, oh, I wish I could have them. I just wish you could go down through the list, and you keep looking at the list, and you look at them and you think, oh man, I just can't wait to read that book. I can't wait to read it. It's on my wish list. It's right there. It's waiting for me. We come before God with our wish list. And we say, Lord, I need this and I want that. And I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And I want you to accomplish this. Whatever happened to the time when we came before God and said, search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. We have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss because we want to consume it upon our own lust. Listen, God does want us to bring our petitions before Him. But He wants us also to come before Him in humility and open up our hearts to Him and say, Lord, I want You to change me. Make me different. I want revival in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, we mastered the art of wanting. But we fail at the art of waiting upon God and seeking His face and searching after His heart and trying to find His presence within our lives. Read a story about D.L. Moody. We all know who he was, a famous evangelist preacher from Chicago. He went on vacation to England. His plan was to do no preaching. He was on sabbatical. But while he was there, he met a preacher. The preacher said, oh, Mr. Moody, you are so well known. He said, you've just got to come and speak at our church. I want you to come on Sunday morning. You have just got to come and preach to us. And so Mr. Moody, he reluctantly agreed, but he did do that. He preached on Sunday morning. He wrote in his journal that it was the deadest crowd he had ever seen. That the only thing worse than preaching to those people was the fact that he had promised to go back that night and preach again. But he fulfilled his promise and he went back that night. And the story goes that about halfway through the sermon, something happened. The people began to come to life. At the end of his message, Brother Moody began to ask, is there anyone here that would like to be a Christian? And there was just a great number of people in this congregation that began to stand up, and they thought, man, maybe they just don't understand what I'm talking about. He said, no, how many of you would really like to be a Christian? He said, I would like for you to meet me in this room over here at the end of the service. He said, the room was packed out with people that had a hunger. The next morning, he got on a train and he was headed to Ireland. He was going to go on with his vacation. When he got off the train, there was a memo that was handed to him. It says, come back. Revival has broken out. Hallelujah. Oh, God, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that message come to us? Come back, Brother Moody. Revival has broken out. In 10 days of preaching, 400 people were saved. 400 people received Christ. And the key to this story is right here is this. There was a woman, an 80-year-old woman that was an invalid. Her name was Mary Ann Adelard. She had read one of Brother Moody's sermons in the paper. And what she began to do? She began to pray, God, send D.L. Moody to our church. Send D.L. Moody to our church. And God sent D.L. Moody to their church. And 400 people, revival, began to break out in that congregation. Listen, you say, Brother Brim, what are you talking about? I'm telling us this. There's power in prayer. There's power in seeking the face of God. There's power in humbling ourselves before Him and seeking His face, praying, opening up our heart before God, and allowing Him break down the barrier of prayerlessness within our lives. Go beyond just the now I lay me down to sleep. Go beyond, Lord, I thank you for my food. Go beyond that experience. Get something deeper from God. Have a greater communication, a greater relationship with the Lord. Break down the barriers of prayerlessness. Hallelujah. Oh. We come to minute, and I'm in no position to talk on this. We try to come, we come a couple minutes early to church, and we sit down on the pew, and we open up our Bible and read a verse of Scripture or two, and close our eyes and say a little prayer, and think that's where revival starts. Oh no, that's not how revival starts. Revival starts like Brother Jones was talking about, pushing the plate aside and saying, you know what, I'm not going to eat this meal. I'm going to talk to God about my condition. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to stay. I'll tell you where revival starts is when the Holy Ghost wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning and you feel an unction within you. It says, I need to pray. I need to seek the face of God. You get up out of your bed and you go to a place. You get on your knees and you call out upon God. That's where revival starts. That's how you break down the barrier of prayerlessness. Hallelujah. I heard this referred to tonight too. We've got to break down the barrier of misplaced priorities. The scripture here says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh man. Seek my face. Oh my. The face of God, it's His countenance, to turn in the direction of His countenance, to look upon the face of God. That was another one of the verses of Scripture I heard tonight from David, the psalmist. He said, I'll behold your face. I'll be satisfied when I awake with your righteousness. Amen. That comes from face to face. Moses was face to face. And he came down off of that mountain and they had to put a veil over him because his face just began to radiate and it began to glow. I'll tell you what, it was more than just, in my opinion, now this, we could debate this if you want, but in my opinion, it was more than just a bright light. It was a radiance of the glory of God. And there's something about God's glory. There's something about the glory of God in the face of sinful people that causes them to shrink back. And they said, Moses, would you please just cover your face? Would you cover your face? We can't bear to look upon that. We can't bear the glory that's radiating off of your face. Listen, to behold the face now of God, to look upon His countenance, to seek His face. I go back to the book of James again, chapter 4, verse 8. He wrote this. He says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You ever played a game with someone? I like to play chess with my boys, and I like it when they get distracted. You know, teenagers get distracted. And I don't ever harp on it or anything. Not when we're playing chess. Yeah. And they'll look at me and they'll say, whose turn? Whose turn is it? You weren't paying attention. Because if you're paying attention, you'd know it's your move. But you know what tonight? It's your move. It's your move. It's my move. James said this. He said, draw nigh. You, the subject there is implied. You draw nigh to God. What's the next move? And He will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great tonight if we, through changing our priorities, what are the things that you're after tonight? What is the pursuit of your heart? What is the ambition of your soul? What is the craving in your life tonight? Is it seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or is it seek your own plans and your own pursuits, your own ambitions, your own goals, your own dreams? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The scripture here in 2 Chronicles. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God is saying to them, this is God speaking. He says, seek my face. Search for me. Try to find my countenance. Try to connect with my face. Try to come before me. Do whatever you have to do. Make it the priority of your day. Make it the priority of your life to search out God, to seek after Him. It's your move. It's your move. The Lord says, draw nigh. Draw nigh unto God. It's your move right now tonight. You can break down the barrier of misplaced priorities by taking a step and drawing close to God. Say, Lord, I'm moving close to You. I'm going to step away from the other stuff. I'm going to step away from these other things that I've pursued. I'm going to step away from misplaced priorities. And God, I'm going to seek Your face. I'm going to seek Your kingdom. I'm going to seek after Your righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm going to seek after Your presence, O God. Amen. Draw nigh, and He will draw nigh to you. The rest of the scripture says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded. You have trouble making up your mind? Oh, I want this, I want that. Oh, I don't know what I want. I'm not sure what I want. Listen, we need to know what we want from God. We need to have the right part to seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Search after Him. Search after His face. Amen. Call upon His name. Call upon Him. Fall in love with Him. I heard that mentioned tonight. Falling in love with Jesus Christ. Oh, that if we would just have a hunger, a love for Jesus Christ. And says, Lord, I love You. And I want to draw close to You. I want to seek after You. I want to find Your presence real within my heart. Search after God. Search after Him. That's our priority. That should be the priority of our hearts. Amen. The priority within our lives. Let me hurry on. I've got to hurry. The last thing tonight. We need to break down the barrier of presumption. You say, what do you mean presumption? What does the scripture say? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. whoa, wait a minute. This says, the first three words say, if my people. But then here it says that they will turn from their wicked ways. I thought these were the people of God. Now, I'm not here talking about eternal security, that you can go out and live the way you want to live and everything's okay with God. Amen. But let's face it tonight. Sometimes we do wickedly before God. We sin before God. I'll tell you what, we sin before God when we don't search Him with our whole heart. We sin against God when we don't seek after Him, when we don't pray to Him, when we don't search Him out with our whole heart. We sin against God. But here the Scripture says that they should turn from their wicked ways, the children of Israel. And I heard this mentioned tonight too. You say, well, what do you keep saying that for? The more I sat here in the service and thought, you know what? I got the right thing here. The children of Israel had their idols. They had their idols. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. A nation that God had been so, the history of that nation was so intertwined with the miracles that God had performed on their behalf and how He had brought them out of the land of Egypt and delivered them from the power of the Egyptian army and Pharaoh and all the slavery that they had endured for hundreds of years. God had delivered them and then brought them through the wilderness and brought them to the door of a promised land and then He brought them into the promised land and gave them great victories. And He just had simple things that He wanted them to do. But it seemed like they had so much trouble obeying what God told them to do. They struggled with that. They struggled with those false gods that surrounded them. They struggled with the false religions. And they tried to mix the religion in. And they tried to put the religion of the Hebrews with the religion of the other nations that surrounded them. And listen, that just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not going to fly. It does not bring revival in your heart. People might think your church is cool, but that doesn't mean it's right. Amen. The children of Israel, they had trouble with this. And so the Lord said to them, He said, I know you're my people, and I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I've brought you out of Egypt. But He said, if you, and this is the mercy of God, He said, if you will turn from your wicked ways, turn away from the things that have distracted you. Turn away from the things that bind your heart. Turn away from the sinful things that you know, the disobedience, as the Scripture says in Hebrews, to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Tell you what, if we're going to have revival, some things have got to go. Amen. I don't know what sin you're pandering to in your heart. I don't know what form of disobedience. I don't know what appetite or habit or whatever it may be within your life that Satan is bringing before you. And it seems that you are powerless. It seems that you melt before the temptation. It seems that you have no strength to withstand that. Listen, what you need is a revival. Amen. What you need is to break through the barrier. Amen. A presumption. And quit just assuming that God says everything's okay. But now He's saying to you, turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from the sin. Turn from unrighteousness. Turn from ungodliness. Turn from hypocrisy. Turn away from the lust of your heart. Turn away from the things that distract you. Turn away from the things that bind you. Amen. Break down the barrier and have revival within your heart. Amen. Isaiah 59 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Do you wonder tonight why your Christian experience is floundering? Why it is frustrating? Why you seem powerless? Why you seem like you just can't have victory within your heart? Why you know what it is? Your iniquities have separated you from God. your sin. Your sin, as the scripture says, your sins have hid his face from you. Remember what we just talked about? We're supposed to seek his face. We're supposed to search after his face, to find his countenance. But here the scripture says that the Lord is hiding his face. He's hiding his face. Why? Because we have sinned. Listen, turn from your sin. Turn from the presumption in your heart. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to pull the veil back. And the glory of God's going to shine. There will be that glow in all of the darkness that are around you. There will be that glow. And you just follow after Him. You draw nigh to Him. He will draw nigh to you. You know what you'll have around here by Sunday? You'll have revival in your heart. If you break down the barriers of presumption. Proverbs 28, I could go on and on. Proverbs, let me just close with this one. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we serve a merciful God? You know what the revival is? Revival is not take this bottle of water and you say, you know, I'm not thirsty for water. I think I want peach tea. And so you grab one of those little things. You tear it open and you pour it in there and you stir it up. Put the lid back on it and shake it up. Oh, there it is. Peach tea. Now, you and I might debate about what that is, peach tea. Brother Jones, he knows about peach tea. Amen. Revival's not like that. Revival is an act of God's mercy. As He moves upon our hearts and lives, as we humble ourselves before Him, as we break down the barriers, as we break down the barriers. You're going to have Brother Meadows here the next few nights, and he'll preach to you, man. He will preach to you. I just heard him at a camp meeting this year. One of the greatest camps I think I've ever been to. The power of God was awesome. But you know what? Even the power of God is not going to override barriers that you refuse to remove in your life. That's why they're called barriers, folks. It's going to keep you from experiencing. You'll sit there and you'll wonder, why can't I feel this? You'll sit there and you'll wonder. You'll see others that are up here around the altars getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting a work of sanctification done within their hearts. You'll see the work of God. You'll see people. You might see somebody come and find salvation in their life. And you'll see people getting blessed and strengthened, renewed in the Holy Ghost. And some folks will be jumping and dancing and rejoicing in the presence of God. You'll think, you know what? Why don't I feel that? Because you refuse to break down a barrier. Listen, tonight, as I prayed about this message and I prayed about this service, I thought, Lord, I'm not here for the whole week, but if we could just break down the barrier, boy, you guys could have some action around here the next few days. As God revives hearts and moves upon people's lives, and the Holy Ghost just has His way, and you're drawing close to God. You're finding new power and new strength in His presence. You're going beyond just revival. You're going further. You're advancing in the kingdom of God. You're leaving here stronger than what you were before. All because you broke down the barriers on night one. I want us to stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You tonight. Father, I pray that You would speak to us. God, speak to us tonight, oh God. Oh, Lord, if there are barriers in our lives. Father, I pray that those barriers be broken down and we have to do our part. Lord, I can't just call upon You. I've got to be willing to do something myself tonight. I've got to be willing to take some actions myself tonight, oh God. I've got to be willing to make some commitments myself in these altars tonight. Oh God, work in our hearts. Lord, You know our hearts here tonight. You know the barriers that have been built and put in place. The things that are hindering us from experiencing that move of God in our life. Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to begin to tear those things down. Lord, as an act of faith, I just want to tear those barriers down tonight. I want to start ripping them to pieces. I want to start pulling them down, ripping them up, tearing them apart. Lord, any obstacle, anything that hinders, Lord, I want to remove it tonight. Hallelujah. God, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Before we come and pray tonight, I need to finish this verse. You see, the first half has to do with tearing down barriers. The second half has to do with turning up blessings. Amen. He says, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. And I will heal your land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you tonight something. According to God's word, if you'll tear down the barriers, He'll pour out the blessings. If you'll tear down those things that hinder you in your walk with God, God will begin to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing in your life. Your job will go better. Your marriage will go better. School will go better. Life will change for you. Life will change for you. Why would you say, what do you base that on? Because the Lord says, and I will heal your land. He wasn't just talking about a national healing. He's talking about a healing of their sustenance and their life and who they were. He says, I will heal your land. The land that refused to provide fruit for you. He said, I'll heal the land. It'll bring forth blessings. But you've got to break down the barriers. I don't know who you are tonight. Maybe it's all of us. But I'm telling you tonight, we need to come to these altars and tear down barriers. I don't care if you're 7 or 77. We need to tear down barriers in our hearts so that we can have revival this week. Is there anybody tonight? Is there anybody tonight? You want revival. I want a move of God. I want something to happen in my life this week. Get rid of the barriers. I want to see the move of God. I want by Sunday, I want there to be a transformation in my life. Break down the barriers tonight. Hallelujah.
Won't you hear our
glory to God. Glory to God.
There is a longing.
Oh, God, we tear down those barriers. We rip down. We rip down those things, Lord, that hinder us. That hide us from your divine presence, oh God. Oh God, tear down the pride in our hearts, Lord. We need you. Tear down the pride, Lord, that I can see myself as you see me tonight, Lord. I want to have a realistic picture of what you look at in my life.
We're willing to
Lord, I want to get beyond just the simple, shallow life of prayer, but Lord, to devote myself to fellowship with you. God, I pray tonight that you would change my priorities, that I would seek your face, that I would search you out, Lord, this week, in your word, in your altars, Lord, that I would search out your presence.
There is a longing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, Lord, I pray that you help us to put aside the sins, the sins, the weights and the sins that beset us, oh God, that hinder us. Lord, I pray that you give us that victory.